Hello everyone, I'm Zola Zingit. Welcome to COVID Stuck Abroad, the podcast where I get to chat with South Africans who are living abroad in 2020, when COVID-19 changed the world as we know it. This podcast aims to tell the personal accounts of guests featured and does not claim to offer verified facts. To get verified information about COVID-19 and related information, please refer to the official World Health Organization website, as well as the official South African government website. Please see the show notes for links. It must also be stated that COVID Stuck Abroad will not tolerate xenophobic sentiments. Listeners should recognize that the personal experiences of one individual cannot be viewed as a representation of an entire nation, ethnicity, or culture. Okay, now let's get to today's episode. Hello everyone. Today I'm chatting with Nqolo Bule, an associate director at Standard Chartered Bank, who moved to Dubai in the United Arab Emirates in 2018. Hi, Nqolo.
Hi, Zola.
How are you?
I am great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining me today, like just for agreeing to speak with me about your experiences.
I'm very happy to, and it's great to catch up, and thank you for having me.
Okay, so just to, I think, start off our conversation, I always just like to maybe give our listeners a picture of how you ended up in Dubai.
Yeah, sure. I'll be glad to. It is kind of an interesting and weird experience as to how I got here. Firstly, it was never my plan. Like, I never ever wanted to necessarily be in Dubai. It was not a location that I thought of as an exciting or cool place to be. But you know, 3 years down the line, I'm very grateful. Like, it has been nothing short of phenomenal. So I was doing leveraged finance in South Africa. And then the bank that I'm still currently working in, I was looking for a bit of a change, something different. And there were a couple of changes happening within the bank at the time. So I approached a mentor of mine to say, hey, like, would there be any scope for me to potentially try a different product, do something different? And, you know, spoke to a couple more people. And this particular, they were like, there's this debt capital markets opportunity, but here's the thing, it's only in Dubai. So would you be willing to move and, like, you know, try this out? And at the time, like, I'd just gotten married to, at the time, was my long-term boyfriend. And, you know, we spoke about it and it was like, this could be a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, let's just do it. Like, we'll make it work. And yeah, I hopped on a train, a bus. I hopped on a plane. And yeah, and I came to Dubai. I knew a couple of people who were this side already. And I tried it out and it was like, it has been fantastic. Like, it was great. I've met phenomenal people. Just the diversity of this place, like, because it is mostly expat driven. Like, there's about 70% of the people are expats. So you have a very friendly, people want to, like, meet other people because no one's in their hometown, right? So everyone is a traveler. So I absolutely love it. The spirit is great. Yeah. So that's how I came here.
Oh, and what was that like, actually sort of adjusting to being newly married and then moving to a different country?
It has been like, okay, it's been really good. Like, how I always describe it is that the joy of not living in the same country or in the same place as your partner is that every time you guys see each other, you really treasure that time. So it feels a bit honeymoon like, which I think is like a benefit, and I think it's a benefit that not a lot of people speak about, but you do really value what time is. And then you just set boundaries, I think, for yourself. So like, for us, our thing is, we'd have, you know, come rain or shine, whether you're in a meeting or not, like, we have our sacred hour, which would be 7 o'clock South Africa time, 9 o'clock Dubai, and we speak, like, you know, whether it is that you're tired or you have gone out with people, but just having that boundary and people around you to know that this is our time, then it works. Like, I don't know. I think we've been good. So I like it.
But like you guys got to see each other often though, right? Like when you first moved to Dubai, because you travel a lot for your job.
Yes, I do, Zol. So fortunately with my work, like I would be in South Africa like every 6 weeks or so, 5 to 6 weeks. So yeah, we did. Like it wasn't very bad, but to go from a situation of being with someone every single day from university to like seeing them every 5 weeks for us, like that's like, it's tough. Like it was a bit of an adjustment.
I mean, I haven't said you travel a lot for your work. I actually meant to say you used to travel a lot for your work.
Yeah, the good old days.
I thought that was interesting that, like, you know, that's one of the, I would think the perks of your job is that you've gotten to travel a lot around Africa. And it's like, I was wondering, like, you know, what are some of your favorite places, like, you visited?
I think,
even though it was for work.
No, even if it is for work, like I agree, Zola, like you still make, you try your best to make the best of any experience. So, yeah. I mean, I do try to, I mean, fortunately, I do have a fairly wide network of people I know across Africa. So I will, you know, if I happen to be in X place, like I'll just say, hey, Zola, like I'm in your hood. Like, can you please show me where it is that you eat?
That's so cool.
And so, yeah, that is quite nice. Like, I think that is a very cool aspect of my job. And it's an aspect which I miss quite a lot because it now, my job is now mostly being in front of a computer screen and, you know, having, you know, video chats with clients and, you know, sending them presentations. But it feels very impersonal and I enjoy the human connection bit, which I think COVID has robbed us of a bit. But simultaneously, you don't want to complain too much, right? Because I am fortunate that I have an ability to do my job and not need to physically, you know, travel around or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of COVID, when did you realize, okay, something's going on, things are changing? When did you first find out about, like, the coronavirus?
So I think, like most people, and actually maybe not so much like most people, but so I work, as you said, at Standard Chartered and our bank is emerging market focused. So we had a lot of our colleagues in Asia, you know, China and across Asia who already by Jan, Feb, like the office was closed. They were doing like remote working. But at the time though, I still think it did, at least to me, feel like it was a Asia problem. Like, you know, this is something that will affect them and, oh no, that's so sad for them. And we're never going to be as extreme as it was. You know, some of the reports that we were hearing, like Jan, Feb, from our colleagues are really bad. And but it was like, oh man, but that's happening over there. Like, it's not like it's our problem. And then we had a Chinese New Year around the end of Feb, beginning of March. There was the Chinese New Year and we had a lot of Chinese tourists, like as usual, who come into Dubai during that time. And again, like, right, it was still very normal. We weren't wearing masks and we just weren't concerned, right? We just carried on with life, but you'd hear about...
And like, yeah, you already knew sort of like what had happened.
Yeah.
Or at least what was happening in like a few Asian countries at that point.
Yeah, but it was still like, at least for me, like I was still in denial. Even though I knew the information, but it didn't seem like it was something that could really close down the way we do everything. You know, pandemic status. I just did not anticipate that.
Yeah. Jeez. And so when did you, like in Dubai exactly, like did you guys have a lockdown or when did you realize that like, okay, things are changing? When did you start having to work from home?
So it would be around, I think some of the restrictions. So I'm in Dubai, but some of the other Emirates, they had lockdowns earlier than Dubai. So I remember specifically Abu Dhabi had their lockdown. I think it was around mid-March, like we were hearing, you know, reports of different restaurant chains, like them saying like, oh, actually like our Abu Dhabi branch has like now shut down. They're restricting everything. And Dubai, then it was a week afterwards, like around early 20s of March. Then Dubai also followed suit, closed down everything, masks are mandatory, you need permits, you know, to move up and down.
And then how did that make you feel? Like just being in a different country and like all of that happening?
I mean, honestly, Zola, scared. Absolutely scared, because I didn't know what, did it mean that we were going to be closed down for 3 months plus, like what had happened in China? Am I going to be safe? God forbid, if I do get sick, I'm alone here. I mean, I've got friends, right? But it's different when you want family, right? When you're really sick and you're going through it. Like, it's just, I'm asthmatic as well. Like, just the thoughts, because it was people who are asthmatic or had any, you know, underlying issues. I mean, that was a potential issue, right? So that this thing could really make you seriously sick and you could die. Thinking about my family, the fact that, you know, who knows when I will see them. So yeah, just scared.
I mean, it sounds though like, you know, Dubai was sort of going through trying to deal with COVID-19 around the same time that South Africa itself was also trying to deal with the emergence of this. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it wasn't called a pandemic yet, right? At that point, I think, but you know, like this emergence virus. Of like this virus in these different countries. And so, you know, because for us it was like early March, we had our first case and then cases were increasing. Mm. And yeah, around the 20s, this is when like things were picking up. Like, what's going to happen? Are we also going to go under lockdown? Schools are closing. Mm. And so like, how are you and your family and your husband like communicating like at this point about what you're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, so when I heard then, you know, so we're starting these lockdowns, and then I was hearing from some friends that, you know, Emirates might be canceling flights very soon as in response to this thing. So at this stage, you know, every day of the COVID situation, which a benefit, I think, is that it's caused us all to reevaluate and start communicating more. So I think during, you know, that beginning period of COVID, like, it's most probably the time I can recall speaking to my family most, like, more than I think I ever have, like, having been here. Because it's like, normally you'd check on your family. I mean, there's obviously speaking on WhatsApp, which you'll do every day. But, you know, in terms of video calls and making that active effort, literally every single day, like, it would be, we'd be video chatting to say, you know, what's happening, just keeping up to date and keeping them, I think, at bay to realize that, okay, I'm alive and I'm okay, and making sure that I'm not losing my mind, because they know I'm alone in this apartment, because you couldn't see friends, things like that, right? You know, there were no social type of visits.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so on the one side, I am grateful for that confusing beginning period, because it forced us all to just check in, like to just make the effort to just check in every single day. So
how do you make the decision then to come to South Africa? I mean, you're still working, so like,
yeah,
what made you make the decision that like, okay, no, you're gonna fly back?
So Zola, I just did not want to be stuck in Dubai for God knows for how long and not have an ability to be with my family. So for me, I was willing at the time, which was very, very young and naive, even though it was just a year ago. But I was willing to, if it is that my workplace fires me over wanting to be with my family during this very scary time, then, you know, so be it. Because I think that even me as an employee, I would have not been an effective and efficient employee being stuck alone in an apartment with no human interaction, like, well, close to no human interaction for an extended period of time. Like, it's just, you're not going to get the best version of me. So, I mean, that's kind of the decision that I made. And I called around, booked a flight, and then called my boss to say, you know, this is what's happening. This could be the only opportunity for me to leave the country. I know I don't have the right approvals, but can I go? And fortunately, you know, I do work with very reasonable people. And, you know, they said, yes, like just, they were like, just go, we'll sort out the paperwork and all of that mess after the fact. But first things first is look after your emotional mental health, because that was also taking a toll last year.
Yeah, because at this point you're already working from home in Dubai, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working from home here, and it's honestly, it was scary. It was depressing. Yeah.
So when did you get back into South Africa? Like, you just made it before.
Just made it.
Before our own lockdown, right?
Yeah. So I think I arrived like on the Thursday, and then like the official, like, things are shutting down was like on the Friday. Like, it was like literally a day or two that I got lucky. Like, I just got so lucky.
Yeah. Oh, and how was it? Like, I mean, you got to experience a little bit of, you know, restrictions and a bit of a lock. Well, I mean, Dubai didn't have a full lockdown like we had, right?
They did.
Okay, so they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you said, like, you still had to get permits, yeah, and, you know, you couldn't just, like, go anywhere.
Yeah.
So how did that compare, like what you experienced in Dubai and then what you experienced in South Africa? Like, level 5 lockdown, it's yeah, level 5, let's
five,
say.
5 against 5, because this side, I think it was also, like, 5. I think if I were to compare the two, I think they were largely similar. But I think the one thing which I'll say about the society here vis-a-vis back at home is that there here is like a real reverence and fear for like the rule of law. So if you say that, you know, we're doing this, like, people will, like, on the most part, really just abide to the laws, because you're afraid of getting fined, you're afraid of getting, like, God forbid they take, like, your visa and they say, like, you know, go to your, you know, go back, and, you know, they cancel your visa and all of that. So there is a stronger adherence to rule of law. But I think in terms of what both sets of rules are trying to do, I really think it's exactly the same. Yeah. Because we just didn't know, right? So I think there was a lot of overcorrecting at the start, because most people just, you didn't know what it was. Like, you're washing your hands like 20 times a day, even if you're like just in your apartment, because you're just like, oh my goodness, what to do. But yeah, restaurants closed, bars obviously closed. I mean, bars are still closed even to like now here in Dubai.
Oh.
So like every, like, seating areas are 50% capacity, but, you know, about a year ago, it was like restaurants were closed. You couldn't go out to like the parks and stuff and like do casual runs. So same thing as us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was it like then adjusting to working from home in South Africa?
Honestly, fine. To be perfectly honest, fine. Because you're trading, sitting in front of like a home desk in one location to like a home desk in another location. So
yeah,
and honestly, I think, fine. You know,
that's the thing. It's like it just ended up being a, why do you actually have to be in Dubai if you are just working from home and you're just like sitting in front of your computer if you can be anywhere in the world?
Yeah.
No,
I was going to say that I do hope, like, if there's one thing that we do learn from this whole COVID experience, like, I do hope that our very rigid workplaces have a bit of flexibility with respect to, you know, people don't necessarily need to be in the very same brick and mortar space in order to produce work. On the one aspect, but in the other aspect, there is something about being in an office-y environment where you're able to share ideas and like be with your colleagues, and like even those like small 5-minute breaks where you're like gathered around a water cooler, just chit-chatting, like all of those like build a sense of community and spirit, which I think we do need as well. So
yeah.
So
how long did you end up staying in South Africa then?
Oh, for so long. until October. So March until October.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, like kind of beginning April, end of March,
okay,
until
so
October.
That's like quite a big chunk of 2020 then that you're in SA.
Yeah.
So why did you decide to go back to the UAE in October?
Because as soon as international flights were open, I had to, like, my dispensation ran out. Like, I had to come back. So it was driven by work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you could have stayed. If you wanted to.
I would have wanted to, yes. But, simultaneously, can I give you just a random anecdote about coming back to my apartment? So I then arrive at my apartment, which is the downside of having left for so long.
Oh.
And it was summer, and I left for most of the summer months, right?
Mm.
And then I came back to my apartment October, and I hadn't turned on the AC, like the air conditioning in this apartment of mine. So effectively you had like heat from like the outside. Mm. And then like the corridors here, like are all air conditioned, like corridors outside my building. And so like you had this hot and cold thing happening in this apartment. And like my whole apartment had like mold everywhere, like kind of like ceiling to floor. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Moral of the story, don't leave your apartment unattended for months on end.
Oh, but that's the point. You didn't know. I mean, had you even cleaned out your fridge?
Yeah, you know. I cleaned out my fridge, fortunately. So I emptied out everything before I left, food-wise. But I did not anticipate that I should have actually just left my air conditioning on, which bad for the environment, but...
Yeah, but also even just like costs. I mean, it would just have been on for months and months and end.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, and so it's like when you get back, did you like get back and like leave your husband behind? Or, you know, like what was that now, adjusting back to that?
Yeah, that was weird and sad.
I'm sure it was like, you know, difficult knowing that it's not going to be as easy to travel compared to before.
Yeah, I mean, it just 2020, I think, all in all, has just been uncertainty, right? So we left because I had to leave. I had to come back here. I mean, which also was the right thing to do, because when people try level with you and be nice, like you can't just, you know, take the piss as well. So yeah, I mean, that was sad. Like I cried all the way to the airport, cried like most of the flights until I passed out. Like it was just sad. Like I just, and I got home and got here and I was depressed and like really just bleak. But
I'm so sorry.
Kind of hope
for
the best.
That must be hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I mean, the thing about then being in the UAE, you're back, vaccines. Let's get into that. I think you had one of the most fascinating stories about vaccines, honestly. When does the UAE start their vaccination program?
So I think the vaccination program started early this year. Could have been earlier, but I wasn't keeping up to date because at the time, like I wasn't interested in getting vaccinated, to be perfectly honest. Like, I was like, not that keen. Like, I was just like, what are we, like, going to be the human trials, like the guinea pigs for this thing? Like, you don't want to be version one of any medical procedure, right? Like, you just want you want to know what all the side effects are. Then I'll make my decision. Probably early this year, vaccines started, and they have this app, Department of Health app, where you can book a slot, like here.
And it's like open to everyone, so like citizens, residents, and even like foreigners?
So residents and citizens, like, you know, like it is open to that, open to everyone in that sense.
Okay, so not tourists is what you're trying to say.
I'm not sure. Well, I'm not sure. I don't think so. But like, honestly, I don't know. But so then my husband then comes over. And by virtue of we're married, like he has like visa. He has like a spousal visa.
Okay.
Sponsored visa for here. So he counts as a resident. here. So we then, like, he was very strong, like, because he wanted, like, a vaccine, like, you know, very adamant on it. My very good friend, Sarasa, she also, like, you know, very adamant on, like, a vaccine. Like, both of them, like, were very set on Pfizer in particular. Myself, very much indifferent to / I don't think I even want a vaccine. Like, I couldn't be bothered, honestly. And yeah, so, like, you know, they do their research, they present, you know, kind of the pros and cons. And yeah, so then we get on the app. Unfortunately, because there's so many vaccines here in the UAE, you can effectively choose. Like, you could pick, you know, that you want vaccine X, you know, and then you book a slot.
Like, you were telling me how, like, they pretty much have access to all the different types of vaccines. Yeah. Like, you can choose which vaccine you want.
Yeah. I mean, like, so when they opened it up, because I think initially, like, they restricted, so certain vaccines, I think open to the population initially was just the Sinopharm and Sinovac vaccines, which could be open to expats. And then I think the local, you know, population, like, they had the choice of, like, you know, three or four different types of vaccines. And then they did, like, an age grouping for expats to say, you know, if you are over 65, then you can pick. And then they kept on decreasing it. But, like, even, but the rollout was very, very quick. Like, each of those stages happened, like, within a matter of, like, a week or two. So,
wow.
What, it's May now. So I'm going to say, I think I got vaccinated in March. So by March, you know, we were interested in getting vaccinated, they had opened up, like, the catalog of vaccines to everyone.
Catalog of vaccines.
Yeah, like, at the time. So they'd opened it to everyone. So, I mean, fortunately, then the vaccine that, you know, my two closest people wanted to get was open and was available, and kind of go on the app, you pick a site that's close to you. Unfortunately, like, we've got a vaccination center that is about less than a kilometer away. So we just picked that one. And yeah, you go in, so efficient, jab, boom, out, done.
Pfizer had those two doses, right?
Yeah.
Like, you need to get two shots.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you went in for your first one, then had to wait.
Then you wait 20 days, I think. Yeah, 20 days, and then second shot.
And now you're like, you got your vaccine.
Yeah, I'm vaccinated. But, you know, like, this is the funny, tricky thing about, them not knowing that much about this virus, because it keeps on mutating so much. I remember when I came in for my second shot, I then asked, I'm like, okay, I mean, is this it? And then the nurse was like, well, maybe you might need to come in for a booster shot a year from now. We just don't know yet. So, yeah, like, in some ways, yeah, I mean, I'm grateful that I even had the opportunity to be in a country where they have just vaccines in general. Like, even forget about the optionality of you can get this one versus that. I just think having access to vaccines is amazing, and these days a blessing. But yeah, like, but also, man, that there might be more. I'm really afraid of needles.
I'm sorry.
But yeah,
many people are.
But yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what's it been like so far now? I mean, just, you say that, like, I mean, the Dubai, like, pubs are still closed, so it's not like things are fully back to normal, but what has it just been like, life now, being back at work? You're still working from home, right?
I am mostly working from home, and that is a choice. Again, like, I think my workplace is being very sensible and understanding to the fact that we all have different limitations, right?
Yeah.
So some people need to come into the office. Maybe they've got young children, and, like, being at home the whole time, like, might not be the most conducive environment. But for myself personally, like, I have made the election to mostly work from home. I find that I work quite efficiently. I'm also just afraid of being in the office and potentially, you know, exposing myself. Because, I mean, as I said, I'm asthmatic. So, I still do have a bit of a fear around unnecessarily exposing myself to the virus.
And that's important. It's like, you know, you're already vaccinated, and yet it's still important to note that it's not certain that you won't get infected.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's still a thing. Like, I mean, we've seen this variant that emerged in India, right? So is that they were saying that even if, you know, the population had been vaccinated, maybe this variant still would, you know, kind of be spreading like wildfire like this. Being vaccinated doesn't mean that you're 100% immune, right?
Yeah. Mm. Just to end off our conversation, how are you feeling about life right now and just how everything's going?
I am cautiously optimistic, Zo. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic that we need to get better. There's so many things that I think this COVID has taken away from us that I need to believe that that we will get better. Like, as a people, we'll get better. That, you know, the countries that have the means to purchase these vaccines, that they will grow a bit of a conscience and share them with, you know, more developing countries. I need to believe that it's going to get better for my own sense of, like, you know, peace.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me today. It was really good to just, like, talk to you, hear from you about your experiences, and just, like, I'm so grateful that, like, you chose not only to be, like, a guest, but also to just, like, share your story. You know, it's not easy to always speak about everything, but I think it can be very helpful and just, like, you know, helping all of us realize that we've all been through a lot in the past year.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a great conversation. Thank you, and good luck with the series.
Thank you. I can't wait for everyone to hear, like, the different conversations I've been having.
Yeah. You're doing very important work, Zola. Like, honestly, this moment it's a once in a lifetime, and you are going to be one of the important voices that are voicing this experience, and hopefully
listen to you. No, you're the one that's voicing your, like, story, and that's why I'm grateful that, like, you know, to everyone who's agreed to do this, because I agree, I think it is important, you know, to just sort of figure out what happened, like, you know, and, like, what you mentioned earlier about, like, the importance of, like, our emotional and mental state, and trying to make sense of everything, and hopefully this podcast series can be a part of that conversation.
Yeah, part of our healing. So thank you. Have a good day.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. But I have my wine ready. He was bringing me my wine, like, the weekend is starting.
Okay, everyone who's listening, it's like, I can see Nicola in, like, via video, and, like, her husband walked in and gave her a glass of wine.
Yes.
Well, enjoy your wine.
Thank you.
Enjoy your weekend.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Thank you to everyone. Goodbye. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. You can follow us on Instagram at COVID Stuck Abroad. On Facebook, you can search for CSA to like the page. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at covidstuckabroad@gmail.com. Please see show notes for the links. This episode of COVID Stuck Abroad was produced by Zola Zigit with funding from the National Arts Council's Presidential Employment Stimulus Program. The episodes were recorded at Solar Gold Studios.